This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man. Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Those O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios are deep in the heart of Texas. We're in Houston, H-Town, at the home of Sports Radio 610, one of our wonderful affiliates, one of our powerhouses across the national CBS network, and as well as CBS Sports Radio 650 on the network side of things. Wonderful hosts, as always. I'm down here. It's the heart of the sports world right now. World Series shifts back here tomorrow night for 3, 4, and 5. Houston Texans have one of the most dynamic rookies of this year, Deshaun Watson leading the charge. New-look Rockets, although Chris Paul's early return's not great, but Chris Paul, James Harden, new-look Rockets, also at the thick of things in the NBA. And the Houston Dynamo tonight hosting Sporting Kansas City in MLS's one-game playoff in their knockout round. I'll be out there tonight getting behind the scenes on that. I was invited down here by the Dynamo staff to check it all out, and I love soccer, and I love the MLS postseason, so I was jumping at the opportunity to do that. I'll bring the footage of that to you guys as part of Nomad and other projects moving forward, so we'll give that to you when it ends up, the dust settling on that. But last night for Houston in L.A., what a night. And that game had it all. And you have to wonder if Dave Roberts was too itchy on the trigger finger pulling Rich Hill after just four innings, because once Rich was out of there, I mean, Justin Verlander had a no-hitter through four, and I think that spooked Dave Roberts. That forced him to yank Rich Hill, and then he had to overtax the bullpen, and the bullpen was not up to the challenge. And the chaos that ensued from the ninth inning on for the Astros bats and the response and the answers by the Dodgers was an instant classic. Astros outlast the Dodgers 7-6 in 11 innings, and here's how it sounded.
And Marwin lifts this one pretty deep to left center field. Taylor on his horse going back at the wall. That's gone! That's gone! Marwin has tied it at 3!
3-3, 10th inning, Altuve to left center field, back at the wall, it is gone! Jose Altuve!
0-1, breaking ball, and that's hit well, pretty deep to left center field, and you can kiss that one goodbye! Back-to-back jacks for the Astros!
On 2-1, fly ball, left field, Puig has hit it out! It is now 5-4!
Base hit right field! Here comes Forsythe! Throw by Reddick! Is not in time! Tie game!
Here's a 2-1. And Springer drives one pretty deep to right center field. On the run is Hernandez looking up, and that ball is gone! A two-run home run for George Springer! And the Astros are back on top! It's 7-5!
Devo delivers.
Swing and a miss! Puig strikes out, and that is the ball game! The Houston Astros defeat the Dodgers in 11 innings, 7-6.
Just an emotionally draining night. Those were the calls of Robert Ford on Astros radio, Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio, and Joe Buck on Fox last night. What a night it was, and it's just a reminder of how good October baseball can be. because every pitch is filled with such drama. Every pitch is just to die one way or the other. It's very much like postseason hockey, when every rush down the ice is a potential for you to win or to lose, because you know that these games in the NHL playoffs are usually decided by a goal. So you just have your heart in your throat the entire night with every rush up ice. It's the same thing in baseball, because every pitch is a potential for you to lose or win. And it's just fascinating when you have two teams going at it like they were last night, neither one of which was going to give up. And for the Houston Astros, they had almost no offense in game one. Almost none. And then through this one, had only one run again through six. And that was on a couple of singles they were able to string together in the third off Rich Hill. And so it looked like, going into the eighth inning, only six outs away, the Astros bats, which have been largely quiet for the entire October, even though they had advanced this far, Astros fans know that the big bats, the crooked numbers, the offense that really defined this team throughout the regular season, certainly the first half of the season when they were setting all types of offensive records, especially away from Minute Maid Park, which was hysterical, had not really come to life. We hadn't seen the real Astros yet. And it looked like they were going to go back home down 0-2, having not been able to solve Dodgers pitching. And they go into the eighth inning, and they're only there, I think, with a breath because Dave Roberts too soon yanked his starting pitcher. Is Rich Hill a great starter? Of course not. Is he Yu Darvish? No. Is he Clayton Kershaw? Definitively not. But Rich Hill gets the start in Game 2 for a reason. And he had four successful innings where he wasn't lights out, but he had struck out six, had only allowed that one run on three singles. And instead, Dave Roberts overreacted, looking at the brilliance of Justin Verlander, saying, I've got to go to my bullpen right now. And what that did by yanking him after four was overtax the bullpen every step of the way. It meant Kenley Jansen had to go two innings. It meant you had to bring in Brandon Morrow earlier than you wanted to. It meant even if you got through that, then you had to rely on a guy like Josh Fields or Brandon McCarthy. And none of those options are good options after Kenley Jansen for the Dodgers. Rich Hill should have stayed in there longer. And it reminded me of what happened to A.J. Hinch in game number four of the ALCS at Yankee Stadium. Lance McCullers is also not Clayton Kershaw. He's not Justin Verlander. He's not Dallas Keuchel. And so A.J. Hinch overreacted, and Lance McCullers, who was a guy that was spinning and striking out and making the bats of the Yankees look very ineffective, was pulled. Because A.J. Hinch said, first sign of trouble, home run to Aaron Judge, you know what, you're coming out, we go to the bullpen. There's been an over-reliance in today's baseball on the bullpen called bullpenning. You get your starter to go four innings, five innings, and then suddenly everything is all on the bullpen. And that's fine because you have a lot of fresh arms, power arms, coming out of the pen, obviously. But it has also forced managers to overreact. And I understand one pitch here, one pitch there, and suddenly you're in trouble and the whole game flips around. But last night, Dave Roberts went to his pen too early. If he allows Rich Hill to pitch into the fifth or even the sixth, and again, Rich Hill was not in trouble, had only, and again, he had given up a couple of walks, he had given up three singles, but it wasn't like he was getting knocked around and he was getting out of jams, then you're asking your bullpen to do less. Because they were asked to do more last night, they didn't hold up their end of the bargain, and I think the same thing could be said by the Astros, because when Giles comes in and gives up the lead, no Astros fan is feeling good about Ken Giles in there. After what happened against the Yankees, nobody's feeling great about Chris Davinsky being in there. And they almost coughed up the lead twice. They did cough up the lead once in the 10th when the Astros had given them a two-run lead. Then we go to the 11th, And then Culberson hits a home run, and then the Dodgers are threatening again. These managers need to trust their starters more as long as their starters aren't in major trouble. And yes, there can be a too long. There can be a you waited too long. But there also is a you pulled the trigger too soon, and now your bullpen's going to get exposed. And that's exactly what happened to the Dodgers last night. What a game. And now, Astros bats are woken up. Man. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. We were talking about Cam Newton's nonsense again yesterday, earlier in the show. And we'll go back over this coming up here. But Cam walks off the podium after being asked by a team, by a member of the media, rather, why his team hasn't been able to create big plays the last 2 weeks. Note that Cam Newton is coming off maybe his worst performance in the last 3 or 4 years against the Chicago Bears, where the Bears won a football game by 2 touchdowns, and they completed 5 passes. Historically ridiculous, because the Carolina offense could do nothing. They turned the football over. It created 2 big defensive scores by the Bears. Cam Newton was lethargic. He was out of it. He was terrible. He's asked about this and storms off the stage, rolls his eyes, next question, doesn't come back. I mean, when does Cam learn the lesson? I would say never. I would say never. And it's unfortunate because Cam is such a brilliant talent. And I don't think Cam is a bad guy. He doesn't get into trouble off of the football field. There's no criminality in his past. But Cam is a child. He is a coddled child. And the Panthers allow this. Dan tweets, DA is a Browns fan. I'd take Cam over any pile of crap our franchise has yet to produce. Oh, wait, we could have had him, but we traded. I don't blame you. If you're a Browns fan and you've been watching awful quarterbacking forever, yeah, Cam Newton looks really good. And that's part of the problem with Cam. He can be an NFL MVP, which he was 2 years ago. He can help lead you to a Super Bowl, which he did 2 years ago. He can be dabbing Superman, which he has been in his career. But for some reason, lessons are not sticking with him in terms of how to treat other people. I'm not saying you've got to be Kirk Cousins and have a flashcard of memorizing every media member's face. And I'm not even saying placate to the media. Hey, I've been in press conferences and been reamed by coaches. I've been in locker rooms and been barked at by players. I know that, but we all do. When you walk into that locker room or that podium, you don't expect to get treated great. But from an athlete standpoint, specifically a franchise quarterback standpoint, you only make your life harder if you're going to bicker. And for Cam, who's only 2 weeks removed from having to apologize for bickering with the media, to do it again, okay, this one is not gender specific, but how often do you want to have to apologize for childish, dopey behavior? It takes no effort, none, to answer a dumb question. It really doesn't, especially one that's not trying to get some type of gotcha answer out of you. The question is not, you know, Cam, when are you going to grow up? Cam, why are you so terrible? Cam, are you a misogynist? Cam, do you hate everybody? You know, no, it was, hey, you made big plays early in the season. Now you're not. Do you think the offense could get back to that? That was the question. He rolls his eyes, huffs and puffs. Next question, walks off. Man, if you can't handle that, no wonder you couldn't handle losing the Super Bowl. Because you're a child. You're 8 years old and you can't handle when you don't get your fruit cup. When we come back. Last night, the Brooklyn Nets knocked off the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Nets, the worst team of the league last year. The Cavaliers, one of the best teams. And LeBron did a triple-double. How did that happen? We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
He pretends he does his show from a sports talk spaceship.
Who is this? Who are we talking about?
DA on CBS.
I know who DA is.
Yeah.
I've actually spoken to him, but I didn't realize he was on a spaceship.
Well, that's
somewhere.
What he does.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I still don't understand why that's a problem with people. It's a spaceship, and we talk sports on it. Does that not make any sense? Oh, wait. It doesn't? Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And a little reminder, the best of the DA show is always available on iTunes. Full episodes, in fact. Go to iTunes, search DA and CBS, and you will see full episodes, your favorite segments, your favorite interviews, whatever you may have missed, available there. Time for a game preview brought to you by Ferguson. For over 60 years, Ferguson has been the name that pro contractors count on for plumbing, HVAC, waterworks, and more. Put them to work at Ferguson.com. Dolphins and Ravens, Thursday Night Football. What a dandy tonight, huh? On the NFL Network and CBS. The teams will meet for the fifth straight season. And this is just one of those rivalries that the NFL has to make sure it happens. You know, whenever you get Miami and Baltimore together, you throw out the record books. League is like, who cares about Eagles, Cowboys? I don't care about Chiefs, Raiders. No way. We need more Dolphins, Ravens. Every year. Get it to me. Stat. This is like the old Patriots-Colts rivalry of the 90s and 2000s. We need more Dolphins-Ravens. And now! Packers-Bears? Harumph! I need Ravens-Dolphins, and I need it now! Five straight seasons. This one on national TV. Ravens are 3-4. Miami, sitting pretty. 4-2 in a three-game win streak. Three, excuse me, wins. Ooh, excuse me, I will take that victory. Thank you very much. And now Matt Moore in for Jay Cutler. I actually think they're better suited with Matt Moore right now. I really do. I think Matt Moore has more support in that locker room than Jay Cutler does. Now, Jay Cutler's probably going to get his job back when he's back healthy because they basically guaranteed it to him by giving him $10 million and wooing him out of retirement. But even though they've won three straight with Jay Cutler, it still feels like they're a pretty terrible football team, at least a very mediocre one. I think Matt Moore getting a little jolt here. Last night, at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Nets, renowned as maybe the worst team in the NBA. Certainly last year they were. The last couple of years have been a laughingstock. Essentially because they traded away all of their resources for Paul Pierce and for Kevin Garnett. They went all in with terrible contracts. And they tried to win right away. And it blew up in their face. And so then they had to start over again. And they had no draft picks to do so. Well, let me tell you, this is not your older brother's Brooklyn Nets team. This Nets team is different. And this Nets team last night ran and pushed and shot a billion three-pointers, which is what they do, and came out with a victory over LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. And LeBron even had a triple-double. Here's LeBron after the loss.
I don't know if I could put my hand on it or my foot on it right now. We'd be much better. It's just taking us too much time to get into the game, like get into the flow of the game. Teams are playing with a faster pace than us to start the game. And, you know, we have to figure that out for sure.
I am not going to freak out over a loss to the Brooklyn Nets for the Cavaliers. I think that LeBron put his finger on it. They played sloppy last night. It took them too long to get into the game. They actually trailed this game by double digits to the Nets. For Cleveland, it's a constant work in progress, and this is what we see every single year, and there's no reason for panic. Essentially, the Cavaliers always start off sluggish or uninspired and then turn it on at the end of the season. But it's specifically going to happen this year because they have to fit in how Dwayne Wade. I mean, he's already been relegated to the bench. What's going to happen now without Kyrie Irving? Seeing what Derrick Rose has, seeing how Jay Crowder fits in, waiting, obviously, for Isaiah Thomas. I mean, there's just a lot of moving parts in Cleveland, and I'm not worried right now. If this is the way that they play in March, yeah, we'll all get worried. But we know that the Cavaliers annually, especially because this is LeBron's vision, the 82 games are a workshop, and then they're ready for the playoffs. And it's just tinkering and prodding and poking and figuring, and this is what these 82 games will be for the Cavaliers. And it doesn't really matter if they're the one or the two seed. Heck, I suppose they could be the three seed or the four seed, but they're just about making sure they're playing their best and cohesive when April rolls around and it's not even Halloween yet. So I'm not going to go crazy about any of this. What I am going to say is the learning lesson from last night is this is not the Brooklyn Nets that you have expected. This is not the Brooklyn Nets that are going to roll over and lose. As the 2-3 tweets me, DA, this is not the Nets team from last year. And that is absolutely right. Everybody needs to wake up. Brooklyn is going to be a formidable team every night. Doesn't mean they're going to win a ton of games. Doesn't mean they're going to make the playoffs. They might not even crack 35 wins or 33 wins. But Brooklyn's going to be a tough out every single night, because they're building something that's going to be very, very good. Now, they need the star, and they still don't have the star. You can't get great without the star. And it's a shame they traded away all of those picks. But here's the thing. Sean Marks, general manager, comes in from the Spurs, and everyone goes, why would you take that job? You're highly coveted. And he goes, I see something. He hires Kenny Atkinson, a very highly respected assistant coach around the league, to be the head coach. And they say, why would you take that job? And Kenny says, I see something. They went through a disaster of last season. They were terrible. They come into the offseason and they go, let's go out and get D'Angelo Russell. People say, why would you get D'Angelo Russell? He's a bust. And they go, we see something. With all of their salary cap space, they then go, we'll take your bad contracts. Allen Crabbe, you come here. Damari Carroll, you come here. And suddenly, the Brooklyn Nets aren't a D-League team. They're not the Mad Ants or the Rodeo Ranchers. They're a real NBA team. And they've got guys that will buy in. They've got guys that have bought in. Jeremy Lin's out for the season. D'Angelo Russell was out last night. But they've got guys playing their system, and their system is push the pace, put up shots, get a lot of possessions, put up threes. Hey, that's today's NBA. And they got a smart GM, a good coach, and they're going to be a tough out. Here's the quotes that you need to know from last night. The Celtics have this final first-round draft pick from the Celtics, from the Nets, rather, because of the trade of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. One more, upcoming season. That was the chip that the Cleveland Cavaliers needed to trade away Kyrie Irving. So now that is the first round pick of the Nets that the Cleveland Cavaliers have. LeBron said, quote, man, it might not even be that good of a pick after last night's loss. Ty Lue said it even better. We're running around here worrying about getting the Brooklyn pick. They might want our pick. In other words, you're not going to get the number one pick in the draft like it has been the last couple of years because it's the Nets pick. It might not be 15. It might still be in the lottery. But it's probably more likely it's 9 or 10 instead of 1 or 2. And that's a pretty significant turnaround for a team that has not had draft picks. They could not use draft picks. And they couldn't sign players because nobody wanted to play there. It's an amazing turnaround already. That's a team to watch. When we come back, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day, and another injury to the defense of the Patriots. What does this mean for the Super Bowl champs? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins. Mornings Mothership.
20 vodkas a day, man. And that's after about 10 cold Miller Lights. Yeah.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, Ric Flair, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands that you trust like Brake Best and Wagner Thermoquide. O'Reilly Auto Parts are the brake parts you need to guarantee low prices. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. You know, yesterday I took the flight out of Newark to fly down to Houston, and I'm down here doing the show from Sports Radio 610, our CBS Sports Radio affiliate, and CBS Sports Radio 650 here in H-Town. And, you know, there's one thing that I think is the most bothersome thing to me when I fly. I just want a quiet, competent, professional flight. And I realize you can't always control that with the doofuses that are taking the flight. I mean, when you sit next to somebody who is getting bombed, or you're sitting next to somebody who's really loud, or sitting next to somebody who is clearly over the size of what they should be for that seat, sorry, Mraz, but it's pouring into your lap. They don't have headphones on, they're playing video games. They're snoring. They're talking to somebody in the other aisle, the other row. There's nothing you can do about that if you are a flight attendant. But what I don't need is the flight attendant or the plane staff exacerbating this behavior. Yesterday, I had a flight attendant that insisted on friendly trash talking with people on the plane. This guy apparently was a Cowboys fan, and we were flying into Dallas, or flying into Houston, rather. So over the loudspeaker, he's saying, "Go Cowboys," to get a cheer and then a boo out of Texans fans. Texans fans are trying to give it to him. He's giving it back. I'm like, I don't need this. He comes around handing out the snacks, the pretzels, the potato chips. He hands them out and goes, "Fried chicken. Cheeseburger, pizza." All right, we get the bit. We're not getting those things. We'd rather have those things. But people are really confused. Like, what are you talking about?
And then other people. That's an awful joke. Boo.
People are cracking up. Other people are perplexed. And then as we're landing, sung to the tune of "She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes," he's singing "What We Need to Do." "You should put up the tray in front of you when we land. Oh, gather up your trash and do this, do this, do this, and headphone your handphones in." And everyone's laughing and clapping, and I'm like, I don't need this. I don't need this. I need a button-up professional crew here. I don't need a vaudeville act. I don't need some type of minstrel show. I don't need a laughing episode. This doesn't need to be sketch comedy right now. I am thousands of feet above the land. I am in a big tin metal thing that I still don't understand the physics of how we're actually flying. I know we're going hundreds of miles an hour, and storm and weather and mechanical stuff always can throw you off a little bit and always makes you nervous. And I got this guy singing, "She'll be coming around the mountain," about what we need to do with our trash and about our seat backs. No!
Loser.
Land me quietly and professionally. Save the routine for the Chuckle Hut on Tuesday nights and amateur mic night. I don't get it. I mean, it's like the first time these people have ever had a microphone in their hands. It's not even a microphone, but it's that intercom system. It's like, oh, I'm going to make everybody laugh here. And I'm sure there are people on my flight that were loving this. Like, this is the best flight ever. Not me. Quiet, button-up professional. You know, if I'm investing my money in stocks, I've got a financial planner. If I got somebody that's investing my life's savings, selling me life insurance, I don't need them singing, "She'll be coming around the mountain when you invest. Give me lots of money from your pocket. This is all the money you have. We're going to invest it. Blah, 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 blah. Here I come." But somehow flying a giant machine miles above the ground at hundreds of miles an hour is when we need to get a vaudeville act? Mraz, have you ever been on one of these flights where the flight attendants just want to entertain?
One time years ago, and I laughed like at the very opening shtick where, you know, they did the whole buckle the seatbelt thing. But after that, it's just like, enough. Enough people are nervous flying. We don't need your comedy routine. Let us live in our own world on a flight. Get serious. The singing,
imagine,
the dancing, come on.
Imagine if the crew chief of a NASCAR or an Indy car was like, during pit stops, "Hey, we're going to fill you up with gas when you come. I got all these jokes. Yeah, you're going 225 miles an hour. You're in a flame retardant suit and you might die in a wreck. And here I come. Here I come. All right." Be like, no, not the time. Why have we deemed flying to be the time to make jokes? Not joke time. This is life or death time. We could all perish time. Not joke time. Like, you don't want your doctor in the middle of surgery taking out your spleen to be cracking jokes. Don't need it. Don't want it. Not the time. Don't need it. Don't want it. Not the time. Know your time. Let's get to your sound check, the best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
I got a funny feeling the Miami Dolphins, despite winning three games in a row with Jay Cutler, will be better off with Matt Moore. Here is the quarterback of the Dolphins going into tonight's game against the Ravens.
My focus is to execute what's called. I think most guys like to shoot it down the field, but I think, you know, whatever's called is what I'm trying to execute. Everybody has favorites, but at the end of the day, that doesn't matter.
I don't know. Matt Moore played well at the end of the season last year going into the playoffs, helped lead them to a playoff spot. He didn't play great against the Steelers in that playoff game, but remember the monster hit he took and just came back wanting more? I mean, he got splattered. Matt Moore is a grinder. Matt Moore, I think, is a team guy. I think a lot of the guys in the locker room like Matt Moore. Jay Cutler's aloof. Jay Cutler's more talented, but Jay Cutler's aloof and detached. I think Cutler's probably thinking, as Phil Simms told us yesterday, what have I gotten myself into? I think they'll play better. Doesn't mean they'll win this game, because I think the Dolphins and the Ravens, talent-wise and coaching-wise, are a wash. But I bet you the Dolphins actually played a little better with Matt Moore in there, and it's going to be uncomfortable and awkward when Cutler comes back, because Cutler's not going to want to hold a clipboard, and they're not going to want to make him hold a clipboard at $10 million a year. Martavis Bryant, of course, for a Super Bowl contender, he wants to be traded. Here he is.
I'm a great teammate. I don't have no beef with nobody in here. You know, I love everybody in here. I work hard with everybody. Try to get better with everybody. So as far as me having beef in the locker room, I've never been that type of player.
Oh, I think we need to cue up the laugh montage for a few minutes from now, because that's a good one. I'm going to mix on it. Martavis Bryant, I'm a great teammate. I'm a fantastic teammate. What are you talking about? I mean, yeah, I said I was better than Juju Smith-Schuster, the rookie. I mean, yeah, I've demanded a trade because I want to be out of here even though we're winning. But I'm a great teammate. Okay, I've called out another teammate publicly. All right, I've been a distraction. Okay, I've told the coach, you've got to trade me. I don't want to be here. All right, fine, I've now been suspended. But I'm a great teammate. Everybody loves me. Martavis Bryant's got some demons, man. This guy was out of the league, obviously, last year for the suspension. Martavis Bryant now wants to get paid. And look, I understand wanting a playing time, wanting a role, wanting to get paid. But the fact of the matter is, you're not doing anything right now to help your cause. You're just moaning and complaining and trying to be a nudge and trying to force your way out. And what do you think? That's going to help your draft stock or stock on the open market, rather? You think that's going to help get you a better job? your agent can try to angle behind the scenes to try to get something done. And if that's not going to work, then you have to come to play and work hard every single day so that the Steelers utilize you. Because you know what? You will inevitably be in a big spot and they will need you because one of these wide receivers will go down or there'll be a package where they can use you. There'll be a big game that you're playing in where the world is watching because you guys are a great team. And that's when you earn your stripes. That's where you're going to earn your money. And finally, this is one hell of a call to Mike Francesa's show on WFAN Radio in New York yesterday.
Todd in Fairfield. What's up, Todd? Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good.
First off, just good luck with Reno.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Question about Aaron Judge. In 1956, Mickey Mantle hit 52 home runs. Yeah. This year, Judge hit 52 home runs. Right. Would you agree that Aaron Judge is on track to have a better career than Mantle?
Not unless you're an idiot, dude, you think that.
Mike, if you look at the numbers, Judge did what Mantle did.
Mickey Mantle won the triple crown. I mean, unless you're just trying to be argumentative or a fool. I mean, Mickey Mantle won the triple crown that year. Maybe you didn't realize that.
How did he win a triple crown if he's not a horse? That makes no sense, Mike. Oh. Mike, now Aaron Judge.
I mean, why would you wait on the phone for an hour to make a jackass out of yourself? I just don't understand it. But, I mean, you know, some people, I mean, I guess that's what they like. Pete in Staten Island. What's up, Pete?
You know, I don't know when, where, or why Francesa's shows become just this, like, moths to a flame for prank phone calls. But for some reason, now it's become an art form. Like, that guy doesn't call in to just make, like, a fart sound and then hang up. He doesn't flush a toilet or ask Mike if his refrigerator is running. He is very slyly trying to hook Mike into a sports debate and then make it just ridiculous enough to get Mike upset and then drop the how does Mickey Mantle win the triple crown if he's not a horse and then quickly pivot off of that to go into another take. Now, I mean, honestly, pranking Mike has now become an art form. And that is your soundcheck. How about this? I'm thinking of Mike Girardi in Boston. Joe Girardi might be looking for the same job that Mike Girardi has in Boston because now he is out of a job. They are not extending him in New York. Joe Girardi sent out a statement saying, "With a heavy heart, I come to you because the Yankees have decided not to bring me back. I'd like to thank the Steinbrenner family for giving me this wonderful opportunity. I'd like to thank the fans for their great support as a player, coach, and manager." He says he'll have lasting memories of their passion and excitement during this playoff run, especially the final six games, which will remain in his heart forever. That's pretty amazing that Joe Girardi is sending out a press release saying, "I come to you because the Yankees have decided not to bring me back." Be careful what you wish for, Bombers. Be careful what you wish for. I understand the frustration with Joe Girardi's by-the-book managing. I myself have spoken openly and critically about Joe Girardi's by-the-book managing. I think Girardi also has bothered me at times because when things are not going well, he paints a rosy picture, a smile on everything instead of being real. I think that's been a problem. He has been elusive in being real when things have gone bad. Like him not challenging the Francisco Lindor play when he should have in the Cleveland series. It ends up leading to the Grand Slam. And he says, "Well, we didn't have time." Well, we didn't have time. When in reality, you did have time, or we didn't want to break rhythm. You could have, you should have, but at the moment you had to put a rosy color on everything and not say anything was wrong. And then afterwards, when it's so obvious that you have to cop to it, coming forward and saying, "Okay, my bad." I have been critical of Joe Girardi before. But all Girardi did was consistently get to the playoffs, win a World Series, take this young team that wasn't supposed to do anything this year, go to Game 7 of the ALCS, constantly protect his players from the scrutiny of the New York media, somehow keep ownership at an arm's length, even though George isn't there anymore, has been able to be in the middle of what is not exactly the healthiest ownership group or front office. There's been leaks to the media that he has helped squash. There was getting young players to buy in. There is always the expectation to win every year. And knowing that even though he won a World Series, there were still people that wanted him out every single day. I give Joe Girardi a lot of credit because I think that guy wakes up every day and says, how do I do this the right way? Doesn't always mean that he does things perfectly, but I think this is a man that every day says, how do I do it the right way? And I think he's got a lot of integrity. And I think for the Yankees, they better have a better solution, because it's one thing to let the guy go, but it's another thing to let the guy go because you have a better option. You better have a better option here. Who's the better option? Because there is a tremendous core of young players, and Girardi just steered them to Game 7 of the ALCS. And it begs the question, had they gone to the World Series, would they still have let him go? When we come back, Michael Rappaport joins us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.